This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, happy Texas Tuesday. Reaction Tuesday to a Texans victory over the Hated Cowboys, 34-10 up in Arlington. We are out at the Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands, 25919. Come out, say what's up. Register for an opportunity to win a couple of tickets to the Titans game. You don't have to be here to win them. You just got to be here to sign up.
Yep.
B. Scott is coming out.
How about
He'll
that?
He'll hang out in the 11 o'clock hour. I imagine he'd pick up some OG sauce as well.
Man, like I already bought a bunch of crap.
I know you did. You always do.
I already bought stuff here.
I hope that in addition to buying stuff that you're prepared not just to grill, but also to do OG's passing thoughts.
You're darn right.
Experience, wisdoms, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
That gets you every time, doesn't it?
Every time,
gets you every time. All right, so we touched on this a little bit in the first segment, but I want to add another thought to it, and that is my first passing thought as I'm watching this from beginning to end, but even before the game, Cowboys-Texans just has a different type of feel to it. It just has it's bigger in a weird way, even though they don't play every year. It's more bitter. We know that from everybody was throwing hands. Like everybody was throwing hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, and guys were just – it just had that – the fans, the families, et cetera. This is where I want to go with it. This was my first passing thought. The NFL is sitting on a gold mine of a rivalry. And absolutely – you can talk all you want about Commanders and Cowboys and Eagles and Giants and Cowboys. And Cowboys, you know, everybody picks up their game when they play the Cowboys. They used to anyway. Everybody, you know, really circles the date when it's – but it's just different with the Texans because of what I talked about. There isn't a family around Texas that doesn't have diehard Cowboy fan, diehard Texan fan in the family. And where I'm going with this is it's been more than 20 years since realignment. It's about time for NFL realignment.
Oh, you're calling realignment.
They have to do this. Whenever they get to realignment, which is probably going to be in the next couple of years, they do it about every 20, 25 years or sometimes less than that, they have to get Texans and Cowboys they have to.
Is Jerry Jones still going to be alive? Because if Jerry Jones still going to be alive, it's not going to happen.
I don't know about that. I don't know about it. He saw it.
Well, you know what he also sees?
Yeah.
Them TV numbers.
Yeah.
And you got to think about it from the case of that NFC East. You hit a lot of big media markets, right?
Houston is number six in the country.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. But, like, as much as Houston is big and important, the rest of the nation does not view us in that same way, which is a damn shame if you ask me.
But that's changing.
But you compare that, you're comparing Houston to New York, which is
compare to New York, Chicago, L.A.
But not just that, right? New York, the nation's capital that has obviously a lot of cachet, and then Philadelphia, which is one of the big ones still. I think that division stays as it is. Now, I think what might be more feasible than, you know, moving that up is not even conferences, but what Mark Vandermeer is kind of putting forward for the opportunity once they go to 18 games, the 18th game may be scheduled in a rivalry way. And then now you have Cowboys-Texans on potentially a yearly basis or a bi-yearly basis where at least you have that more consistently, which we'll get to enjoy that in this little stretch because the 17th game gave us the Cowboys game, right, here that you ultimately won last night.
All I'm saying is
night.
Jerry Jones, as much as what you're saying is right, he sees a gold mine when he knows a gold mine when he sees it.
Does he? Yeah.
Well,
he's getting up there.
You're talking out of both sides now. He recognizes it and then he doesn't. Of course he does.
Well, I mean, his eyesight getting a little tough, ain't it?
All right. Another passing thought here, and of course this is going to be a big theme for the week, but it has to be said. Joe Mixon saves asses. He saves people's backsides. The first play, bleeping Laremy Tunsil. And Troy Aikman spoke for the masses. Like, he couldn't have said the exact words that were coming out of every Texans fan's mouth more clearly. He said, "You got to be kidding me."
Correct.
"You got to be kidding
me." Well, he could have said it more clearly, but it would have been an FCC violation.
Yes. And then Joe Mixon happened. I mean, this dude is just – he's the MVP of the team.
He does. He's so good. Like, at various times when it's talked about how, oh, man, this team's got a rushing attack, I'm like, they got a Joe Mixon?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm willing to say they've got a rushing attack, because who else do you point to as the rushing attack? Mm-hmm. Where on the offensive line do you see the rushing attack? Is it Dare? Is it Damian? No, it's Joe Mixon, man.
Yeah.
And that is incredible to see all of this, but also at the same time, it can be a little frightening to think that you are a Joe Mixon away from that entire rushing offense going all the way away.
Well, it's good you said that, because one of the things I wrote down when I'm jotting down my passing thoughts is he's making cuts that literally no one else on the team can make.
Oh, the bounces have been incredible.
No one.
I have that kind of hysterical laugh that sometimes you have when something something nuts happens. So often, just because, wow, okay, there he goes. There's Joe Mixon bouncing the ball out and finding somewhere to go. And it happens time and time and time again.
Yeah.
And it happened on at least two of those touchdowns, mm-hmm. the three touchdowns he had last night.
Yep. Another passing thought here. I'd like to apologize.
Oh.
I said the Cowboys could not run and could not pass. I left out special teams. They can't really do, or at least didn't last night, really do special teams great. That fake punt was an abomination, but credit to Frank Ross.
Well, I don't know necessarily that it was an abomination. The thing about it, like, because Bones Fossil, who is the special teams coordinator for the Cowboys, he likes doing the fakes and the shenanigans and stuff. And Frank Ross is just he's a dude, man.
He's a dude
that keeps on his P's and Q's.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoys his research. He loves the game of football. That's evident. And he was familiar with that man's game.
Yeah, but right? other things, though.
A lesser special teams coordinator might have gotten got by the fake punt.
I probably would have.
Not Frank Ross, though.
It was wide open except for Metchie being there. Good for Metchie.
Who apparently was out here laying the lumber.
Yeah, he knows how to. He did some tackling drills.
Yeah. D'Amico said that this week that they had funny enough in order to try and, like, engender more intensity. Right, they had showed video of Metchie making a hit, I think at Alabama or something to that effect, like bringing the juice in that way. And here he come back again, hitting them.
But also on special teams, Cowboys were a little sloppy. This is more a Mike McCarthy problem, but they took 3 points off the board and got nothing. And even Brandon Aubrey missed a field goal. And so, you know, I apologize. I should have mentioned special teams too. Another passing thought here. I loved Bobby Slowick's decision to basically go no huddle to start the game.
The tempo.
And then he didn't. And it's just, there were some things with Bobby Slowick, and the text board was blowing up about it when we were talking about it in the last segment. The very strange call on 4th and inches. He missed another 4th down attempt on a bad pass by Stroud deep. So that was Stroud's fault. In Cowboys territory.
I know that there's not a lot of love for that call.
Yeah.
But, yeah, CJ did have it there.
CJ missed it.
How you parse that one out.
And then he got too cute with the fake pitch and then shovel pass down on the goal line in the red zone. And that went nowhere, and it led to a field goal instead of a touchdown. Bobby Slowick is, you know, did he have a good or bad game? He had a game. I mean, you know, it was a little bit of both.
Yeah, that's interesting. Some of these things are tough. I really did appreciate the tempo, but I think also this game helped illuminate further for me some of the things that just make it so that it's like, oh, okay, well, that's tough. Like, that's the reason why. Like, they got out there, and there were instances where they tried to throw the football a little bit more, like we've been clamoring for, and then you got dudes running untouched up the A-gap, DeMarvion Overshown going entirely up the A-gap, and CJ having to step by him and those types of things, right? So I understand some more the level of, you know, difficulties that he's dealing with. And it we're seeing him get some iteration on things to try, which I appreciated, and maybe that's an indication that my expectations aren't super high anymore. But I did appreciate Bobby Slowick.
All right, I got three more for you guys here. Get well soon, Kamari Lassiter.
Please. Need you.
We now know why Jeff Okuda was never a part of the plan as a starter, a frontline player, and really.
Jeff Okuda has been hurting. He got burned. He did. He got diced up.
And Kadar Holman, for that matter.
That was the one. I was like, yo, if the Cowboys and Cooper Rush are looking at you like, oh, there's the mark.
Yeah.
That's a real problem. And, I mean, to be fair, Kadar Holman was picked up off a practice squad and a few weeks later is having to play as your cornerback.
But get well soon, Kamari Lassiter.
But yeah, please. please.
Another one for you. Just travel Derek Stingley all the time. Just do it. What a game he had. I mean, this dude is a budding all-pro. You could easily argue that Stingley was the most important player on the team. Cooper Rush... was actually on a pretty good roll. We mentioned it, and, you know, late in the second quarter, throwing the ball, and then Derek Stingley said, "No, it ain't gonna happen."
Yeah, Cooper Rush was just taking the easy stuff, flats, middle of the field, the soft parts of the zone that you were playing to cover to. And but when it came down to, you know, that cutting time, let's try and go down the field.
Yeah.
No dice, which I appreciated to some degree, but I won't lie. During the course of that game, I felt, what do they call it, agita?
Yeah.
I felt that. I definitely felt that.
All right. If the Texans don't find, and this is, I want to hear from Andre Ware here, Byron, but if the Texans don't find a way to limit their penalties, they're going to mess around and lose one of these next two games. They are now currently, as of this morning,
that might be much,
the third most penalized team in the entire NFL.
Well, that's definitely much.
The third most penalized. This was what Andre Ware said on that first fateful play that would have been a Nico Collins touchdown.
Jay hits Nico left side, and he navigates his way across the 30, 45, 50. He's still going. The 40, the 30, the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. There's a flag down.
It's coming back.
Oh, my.
For a hold. Oh, my goodness. What a way to start a game and then have it erased. My goodness. What a weapon Nico Collins is. And he has been missed.
He knows one man downfield against the offense, number 78.
Oh, my God. Mm.
It's a 5-yard penalty. Replay. First down.
I mean, you know the play coming into the game. You know what it is. There is absolutely no reason to have that happen.
It wipes out a huge play.
He's not done yet.
That was 77 yards erased.
He's not done yet.
And it didn't need to happen that way.
No, you know the play that's coming all week long. That's been the play in practice.
The QBs really hate that one. Like, that was a scripted play, man, and that's really nasty that you aren't able to execute it right. I do love, though, the Nico was so good that Andre Ware couldn't even get to his disgust first.
Yeah, he was
like,
wait,
but Nico was so good. Like, I know that's going to get negated, but oh, my gosh, did y'all see that?
They're going to mess around if they keep this up. I mean, that the third most penalized team in the entire league going into week 12.
9 penalties for 69 penalty
yards,
and
a couple of them got picked up.
Nice.
And a couple of them got picked up.
Yeah.
It could have been 10 or 11. Last thing real quick, and we'll get back to this, but I do want to mention it because this is something that a lot of us doubted maybe. We need to just say it outright. Jalen Petrie and Henry Toto'o are having amazing seasons. They are having terrific seasons. Considering what the expectation was, I know Petrie got missed a tackle early.
And missed a couple of early, and he settled down a little bit,
but
broke
the
down better.
Play of the game, he was a part of that. Also made some other big plays. And Toto'o is just consistently among the leaders in tackles.
Yeah, when it comes to coming up and tackling, those guys show up. They had some moments during the course of this game where
they're good.
You felt
just flat out they're good.
But they've been playing at a level where you have not been entirely upset to see them on the field. But there have been little places, and maybe not so little, when you talk about like Petrie and coverage or whatever, where it's broken down. But for the most part, you got to give them their credit.
Or as Joe Buck says, Toto'o. What was that about?
Hey, man, sometimes you lean on the pronunciation guy, and you just slow it down and get through it.
Toto'o.
Speaking of slowing it down and getting through it, I very much appreciated Joe Buck talking about the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge.
Yes, how about that?
In Dallas, and he slowed that down very much because he was like, y'all not going to get me in trouble. Those are the OG's passing thoughts on a Reaction Tuesday after the Texans get a 34-10 victory. All right, coming up next, it's time for our question of the day. What was your favorite moment of this game? Now, notice I said moment doesn't have to be a play. It can just be a thing that stood out to you. It's basically the audience's passing thoughts. Let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.